Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. God is so good, and it's so good to be in church. Amen. Amen. Today is an awesome day. We're almost to Christmas. Who's already all ready for Christmas? Wow. Who hasn't even started? You better get on the ball now. All right. I know there's always those people that have everything bought, wrapped, and under the tree, like in November, you know? Is that you? Holy smokes. Hopefully everybody's just, you know what? Thank God for his grace. Amen. Thank God for his grace. God's going to help you. But this is just such a great time of year. And we love Christmas. Obviously here at BBC, we love Christmas. And we just love the season because it's just such a great opportunity to talk about the love of God at Christmas time because everybody's talking about Christmas and we can tell people what it really means. Amen. And so, but Christmas time and the holidays can also be a difficult time for people. And really, it's that time of year where this last bag in our series on baggage that we're going to talk about, this is the last bag, and it really kind of pops up a lot right around this time of year. And so we want to talk about it. We want to help everybody get through this time if this is a hard time of year for you. And the last bag that we're going to talk about today, we're going to close up, we're going to zip up our series on baggage, is the bag of, drum roll please, thank you, the bag of depression. Dun, dun, dun! And you know, depression is such a, it's a big deal. It's just in the natural, it's a billion-dollar industry. A lot of money is made. It's also the number one reason people miss work. Number one reason people miss work. It affects so many people. And really, if you personally have never dealt with it, I guarantee you know someone who has. You probably love someone who has. And it's a big deal. And you know, so often, sometimes in the church, not this church, not that I know of, and if it ever happens, just let me know so I can smack somebody around. But sometimes in the church, we just want to tell people, well, pray, you need to pray more, you need to do this more, you need to snap out of it, you need to do this, but we really need to address something that it affects so many people, and it affects the body of Christ, and if something affects the body of Christ, we need to talk about it openly and honestly. Amen? And so it really affects all kinds of people. You don't have to, sometimes we think like, oh, it only affects this group of people or this type of person. Really, it affects all types of people. It could, no matter how much money you have or you don't have, or if you're married or not married, or have a job or don't have a job, it affects very super successful people. A lot of very successful people deal with depression. And so it really just has no boundary. Depression has no boundary. It really affects just anyone. And so we want to talk about what the Word of God says about it. Because I'm all for, and I don't want you to walk out of here and say that I don't believe in medication. I do. I do believe in medication. I believe medication helps people, and it's good for you. And so I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm saying this. In this message today, let's not limit ourselves to just medication, but let's get the whole picture and not just take something that treats the symptoms, but let's find out from the one who heals the disease. Amen? Because Jesus is a healer. Just like we sang that song today, healing is here. And the Bible says that Jesus heals all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so that means if you're dealing with an emotional illness or a mental illness, you would receive healing the exact same way that if you had a broken bone or if you had cancer or anything like that. The healing power of Jesus is for you. Amen? And I want to encourage you in here today. If you have dealt with depression or you know someone who has, don't look at it or think like, oh, that person is weak or they need more faith or they need to do this or they need to do that. What they need is the healing power of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What they need is the power of God in their life. Just like if someone had cancer, we wouldn't go up to them and say, you need to get it together, right? We wouldn't do that. We would be kind and loving and caring towards them, and we would pray for them. We would lay hands on them, and we would love them. Amen? Well, the same thing is true for any kind of illness. We need to love people through them and not judge anybody who's dealing with stuff. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about somebody in the Bible who dealt with depression. And actually, there's several people in the Bible who dealt with depression. We're going to talk about one today, and we're going to see some of the natural things that he did that created symptoms and the solution that God gave him. And we're going to look at some of the spiritual things, symptoms that he had, and the solutions that God gave him. Because for every problem, there is a God solution. Isn't that good news? Man, I am so thankful that anything that comes my way, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter that my God has what I need to get over it, through it, past it, be healed from it, that's the God we serve. Amen? Amen. And so sometimes in the body of Christ, we think that anything that has to do with anything mental or emotional, that healing doesn't work for that. And that's just wrong. Healing works for whatever isn't working right. Amen? And so we're just going to talk about this. And long before there was psychiatry, long before there was medication, long before there was counseling, there was a guy in the Bible that dealt with depression. And it's not an isolated instance. There was a few. And what God did for Elijah, God can do for all of us as well. Amen? And so a lot of people in here, we know the symptoms of depression, and really if you've ever been through it, we don't have to tell you what it is because you're like, hello, I know what it is, right? And so one of the best definitions or descriptions, really is a better way to put it, that I've ever heard about depression is this. It's a feeling of being overwhelmed by the pressures and situations of life. The feeling of being overwhelmed by the pressures and situations of life. And so if you're in here today and you're like, yep, that's exactly what it is, I got really good God news for you. Amen? God's got some power for you. And so we know that some of the symptoms of things, but again, I don't want to talk so much about what it looks like or what it feels like or focus on that. I want to focus on how to get out of it. Amen? How to use the power of God, plus if you're on medication, plus that, to really move past it and get to a place of healing. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So turn over your Bibles to Elijah, to 1 Kings. Not Elijah. There's no book of Elijah. He's in 1 Kings, to 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. We're going to mostly be in 1 Kings chapter 19. We got your handout here to help you take some notes and also all the verses on your Bible app for you. We got you covered on this. Amen? Now, just to give you a little background, how many like to know the whole story, right? So here's Elijah, and what's happening is where there's a drought in the land, and so there's not enough of things, and King Ahab has abandoned God's power and God's will, and he's kind of said, I don't want to have anything to do with Jehovah God anymore, and so he has turned to the gods of Baal. What we would look at in the world today, that he would... if a leader had turned to only worldly things and not looking to God for help anymore. And so what happens is, you've probably heard this story before, Elisha the prophet, he has a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And so they go to this place called Mount Carmel, and they're both going to put two oxen, and they're going to find out whose God's the biggest, right? They're having a my God's bigger than your God kind of a showdown. And so Elijah says, my God's bigger than your God. And the prophets of Baal are like, no, my gods, with an S, are bigger than yours. And so they have this showdown, and so they get two altars. They build two altars. And Elijah is so confident in his God, he's like, go ahead and build a moat around yours and pour water over everything and put stone and put sand and put all this stuff that would cause it to be harder for it to be burnt up. Do all of that to mine. He's saying, do whatever you want to mine. My God is big enough to take care of it. And so they build the two altars, they do all this, and suddenly we see over here in verse number 38, chapter 18, verse number 38, and it says, immediately the fire of God fell and burned up the offering, the wood, the stones, the dirt, and even the water in the trench. And so then, this is what he does. He says, the same fire of God, he sends it over to the prophets of Baal, and it gets all of them their sacrifice. So it not the God not only took care of Elijah's offering, he goes over and burns up all the prophets, burns up their offering, burns everything up. So Elijah's like, told you so, right? You know, there's nobody to tell because they've all been got up by the fire. But here's what he has this huge victory. He's faced down 450 prophets of Baal, and these were mean guys. He's faced them down. He's taunted them. He's mocked them. God showed up in a big way, and then we get right, and then rain comes. I mean, then rain comes. There's a drought, and now the rain comes. So he's had a huge victory. He's the big hero of the day. But then we get to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1, and let's look at what happens. He says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel, everybody always wondered where she was in the Bible. Here she is. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. So she is ticked off, right? And so then in verse number 3, now remember, Elijah just had this huge victory. All these great things happen. And then in verse number 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. This Jezebel must have been something, right? She must have been something. And so it says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. I mean, now this sounds a little bit like depression. I don't want to deal with anything. I can't do anything right. Just take my life. I'm over it. I don't want to do anything anymore. But yet he just had this huge victory. And the point is that thoughts of depression and symptoms of depression can really just hit anybody. And so it's so important that we're loving and kind to people when they're going through something so difficult. And so when we see this, we can see that when that darkness overtakes us, it causes us to feel sometimes like the only way out is just to say, Lord, just take me. I can't take anymore. Lord, just take me. And so the symptom here is we're going to look at each symptom and then the solution that God has. Because when you see the symptom in your life, I want the word of God to rise up big on the inside of you and for you to remember that there is a solution for what you're going through. And so in this first part here, we see that Elijah, he's worn out. He is physically, mentally, and emotionally drained. He's got nothing in his emotional tank. He is done because he's just battled 450 prophets of Baal. He's just prayed in rain after a drought. He outran a chariot. Jezebel's put a death hit on, she's put a hit out on him, you know, like a mob hit. And so he's running, and it says in verse number 5, it says, well, wait, let me stop for a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. What happens is that he lays down, he says, take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lays down and falls asleep. And then we see in the rest of verse number 5, he says, all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around. Oh, right. Amen. When you love an angel, come, hey, get up and eat. He said, he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. And then in verse number 7, it says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Now listen to verse number 8. So he got up and ate and drank, and it says, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And we see here sometimes that those feelings of depression, that feeling of being overwhelmed and feeling like we can't do anything and it's just all over for us, a lot of times that's a physical thing. And we see here in the Word, how many know the Word has answers for what we're going through? And sometimes those answers are very natural. Sometimes we're looking for a big spiritual lightning bolt to come out of the sky and zap us or, you know, something like that, when God has a very natural, practical solution for part of those symptoms. And part of the symptom is that he was feeling overwhelmed, he was tired, he was emotionally drained, and the solution was, what did the angel tell him to do? Eat. You need to eat something. You need to rest. You need to take care of your physical body. You know, so often when people come into my office and sometimes they're just a wreck, they're just an emotional wreck. And I will ask them, I will say, when is the last time you ate and when's the last time you slept? Because a lot of times what's happened is you've just overdone it physically and now your emotions are so raw and tender that something's really that's this big, you feel like it's this big. Because you're just emotionally, physically drained. And so the Lord shows us here through his word, one of the things we need to do is take care of ourselves physically. We have a saying in our house, we use it a lot in certain seasons. Sometimes we don't use it much, and then sometimes we use it a lot. But we have a saying, and we say, halt. You need to halt. And what that means is, if you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, or you're tired, you need to stop. That's not the time to have a big, deep conversation. It's not the time to talk about your childhood. It's not the time to talk about deep things in your marriage. It's not the time. It's the time to halt. The angel has come and said, get up and eat. I remember, he's not here, so I'll tease him. Pastor Chris, I bought him a plaque one time for Christmas, and it said, I'm sorry for what I did, but I was hungry. Or I'm sorry for what I said, but I was hungry. Because he's like that. If he doesn't eat or anything, you know, you get hangry or whatever. And so you just need to halt. And really, that's kind of what the angel was saying to Elijah. He's like, listen, you're just tired. You're just tired. He's saying, Lord, take me now. I can't take it anymore. And the solution to that was, hey, buddy, you need to get something to eat. Right? And so sometimes the solution that we're looking for is really pretty practical. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to honor the Sabbath. You know, I've preached on it many times. I believe in the power of the Sabbath, taking that time to rest. I believe in it. It's scriptural. If you have questions about it, you can ask me. You can just Google Robert Morris Sabbath, and you'll see one of the best messages ever on it. You have to rest your body. Amen? You got to take care of yourself. And that's what Elijah was doing. The second thing that we see here with Elijah is his symptom, you know, you got it on your notes there, is he's running from God and he's spiritually dry. He's running from God. We see in verse number 3, it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Where he was, there was power. He just saw it. The rain came after a drought. The fire came and took care of all the false gods. There was power where he was. But when fear came in, it caused him to run a day's journey into the wilderness. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And it says, a day's journey into the wilderness. And that's when he's running away from God. And fear and depression, if you let it, all it does is try to push you out of the will of God. It tries to push you out of the place where you're supposed to be. It's kind of like the prodigal son. If you remember that story, there was famine, the Bible says, in that land. There was no famine where he was supposed to be. And that's what fear and those feelings of depression come. What they do is the goal of depression is to push you away from God, is to push you out of God, to blind you of God's goodness, his mercy, and his kindness, listen to me, and to isolate you. That is the goal of depression, is to make you feel like you're the only one and to pull you out. Because when those feelings come, look at your neighbor and say, feelings. Feelings. When those feelings come, what do? We step back. We don't want to go do anything. Just the thought of being with people is like too much, right? And so we pull back away from people. We pull back out of even God and the presence of God and the word of God and the praise and the worship that we need so desperately. Those symptoms pull us back away from that. And so we see that with Elijah, that he ran for his life. He got into a place he wasn't supposed to be. And here's the number one lie the devil will tell every person facing depression. Don't go to church today. Stay home. Don't go to church today. You don't feel like it. You don't feel like it, so don't go. And that is a lie from the pit of hell, because what you need is what is here. But your feelings are going to try to keep you from what you need. And so even though these symptoms are real, and it was real for Elijah, what did he say? The angel came and said, listen, you need to get up. In verse number 8, he says, get up, eat and drink, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights, and he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And it says, there he went into a cave, and he spent the night. But the Bible says in verse number 11, the Lord says, go out and stand on the mountain. Look at this next part. In the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by you. He was in a place of depression. He didn't want to live anymore. He was laying on the ground, ready, asking God to take him. And maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've been laying in your bed with the covers over your head saying, I can't take another day. I can't go another step. I can't do another thing. And the Lord is telling you, get into the presence of God. You know, I'm just going to give you some 49 years of living advice. You ready for it? This is good life advice from your pastor. Never make a decision laying in bed. Never make a decision laying in bed. Because when you're laying in bed in the morning, you don't feel like doing anything. Right. Isn't that the truth? You don't feel like doing anything when you're laying in bed. It's so warm and snuggly, and you know, you got Gilby and Mozzie and Rixie all next to you, you know, and you know, let's just stay in bed all day. Never make a decision when you're laying in bed, because you don't feel like doing anything, and the enemy has talked all of us out of a great day many times because we've made a decision to stay in bed while we were in bed. It's a lazy decision. We got to get up. What did that angel say? Get up and eat something. Get up, get your day going, make yourself. Be the one who decides. If you know me, you've heard me say this. Never let the enemy make decisions for you. Right. Never. Don't let feelings make your decisions. Don't let symptoms make your decisions. Don't let money make your decision. Let the power of God lead you into a good decision. And if you're laying in bed, you don't feel like doing anything. I mean, I can tell you there's been many times where it's just like, I'm staying here. But it's like, nope, I got to get up, get moving, start speaking the word, and it has completely changed the day around. Amen? The word of God works. It works. And it can heal our bodies. It can heal our minds. It can heal our emotions. It can heal anything that needs healing. Amen? But here's the thing about the word. The word works when it's applied. When it's applied. Just like medication that you take, when does it work? When you take it. If you got pills in a bottle and the doctor prescribed them for you and you leave them sitting there, you're not getting any benefit of them. When you just lay, and listen, we've all been there, and there's degrees of things, and I understand that. But God has help for you when we turn up and turn it God's way. When we start speaking the word. I say this all the time. The Holy Ghost is the muscle of God. And he supplies the power for the word of God to come to pass. Amen? Yes. But the word of God that he's going to supply power to is the word of God coming out of your mouth. And so when we just lay in bed, when we just let those feelings overtake us, when we just go with our feelings and our symptoms, whether they be flu symptoms or any kind of symptom, when we just let those dictate us, we're missing out on the power of God. Amen? And I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying, just speak the word. I'm saying, hey, listen, this is the situation that we're in. Let's take the power of God, no matter how we don't feel like it, no matter how we feel, and let's apply it to what's going on. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen? But the enemy will do everything he can to talk you out of it. What good is that going to do? That's not going to help. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I don't have the energy for it. Man, you got get up power on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can raise you out of any funk, any depression, any disease, anything you're in. It can raise you up. But you got to release that power. Amen? You got to release that power. And that's what, this is Old Testament. And so God told him, he says, you need to get to the presence of God. Now the significance of where he told him to go, do you know that that mountain, that place that they're talking about, it's the same place that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. It's the same place that he received the Ten Commandments. It's the same place that when the children of Israel were complaining and whining and saying, oh, you brought us out here to die. They actually said, I'd rather go back to captivity and eat leeks and die than to be where we are. You're like, yeah, that's about how I feel today. Yep. But you know what God told him? He said, strike the rock. The same rock that he told Elijah to go to. He said, strike the rock. It is the rock of God in the Old Testament. And when they struck that rock, you know what happened? What they needed came out. What they needed came out. And when you get into the presence of God, what you need comes out. Amen? What you need. You can sit here this morning and you can look at me with a smirk like, I don't understand what you're going through. And you know what? You're probably right. I probably don't. But God does. God does. God knows exactly what you're going through. And when you get into the presence of God, what you need as an individual will come out. Because God loves you, and he's a healer for what ails you. Amen? No matter what it is. No matter what it is. And that's what he was telling Elijah. He's like, listen, quit running from me and run to me. Because when things start getting rough and we're dealing with emotional things and we get those feelings of depression come and that fatigue starts coming and that not want to do anything, that lack of drive, those are all symptoms of depression. Everything in you will say, stay home. But God is saying, strike the rock. Get where you need to be. Don't run from God, run to God. Amen? Run to God. He's going to help you. The solution is to pursue God. But it's going to take everything in you to do it. But you know what? If somebody was laying in a bed, and I've told people that have disease, I've been the person that's had disease and you know, just been a tough spot, I would tell every person, no matter what kind of disease you're dealing with, I would tell you the same thing. Go after God. Get his word in you. Get in his presence. You know why? Because there's healing there. There's healing there. What you need is there. The solution to that running from God and getting spiritually dry, the solution to it is to pursue God, to go after him. There's a couple of studies that they've done. In 1999 at Duke University, they did a study of over 4,000 older people, and they found this: attendance at a house of worship is related to lower rates of depression and anxiety. You're taking anti-anxiety medication right here, right now, today. Amen? It's called the presence of God. It's called being in the house, being in the house together. Another study, this guy named Andrew Newberg, he's the director of clinical nuclear medicine at the University of Pittsburgh. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? And you know what he said? He studied the brains of religious individuals who either prayed or meditated, and he said that those who pray and meditate have been shown to lower the risk of depression and heart disease and improve immune function. It's like you're going to the doctor this morning. Amen? You're going to Dr. Jesus this morning. Amen. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we say this all the time, but this is why we need to be in the presence. Just like Elijah, he needed to be in the presence of God. In Hebrews 10, 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Verse number 25, "Not giving up." Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't give up." Don't give up on church. That's what they're saying. He says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But I know how it works. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling the symptoms of depression and you're feeling like nothing is working out for you, the thought of coming and seeing smiling faces is just too much. Right? It's just like, you know, I mean, think of that really smiling person, you know, every church has one, and you're just thinking like, I can't deal with that person today. I mean, just, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, if they come and give me a hug, I might smack, I might deck them, I might, you know? But the thing about it is, now see, aren't you glad you probably thought you were the only person who had those kind of thoughts? You're not. It's like, but the thing is that the Bible tells us, like, listen, don't give up on what you need. Church is for the hurting. That's who church is for. Church is for depressed people. Church is for hurting people. Church is for those who are dealing with anxiety. That's who church is for. And don't think you have to come in here and put it on. No, you come in here and be you and receive the healing power of Jesus and receive the encouragement that comes from being around people. Because I'll tell you what, I came in this morning and I was running late and this happened. My dog Gilby's going through an issue. This is a long story, you know, and so I'm dealing with him in the morning and I come in here. I'm just like, all right, Lord, come on now. And I pull up in the parking lot and I see that big sign. I tell you, man, that put the biggest smile on my face, and it was so great. Miss T had it, and she was like, yeah! And I was just like, yeah! I mean, it was awesome. It benefited me. It encouraged me. Amen? It encouraged me. Sometimes what you need is not what you want. Amen? Amen. Do you get that? Sometimes what you need is not what you want. Because what we want when we feel like that is we want to stay home, we want to zone out, we want to binge watch something, we want to be on Facebook all day, we want to be on a video game, we just don't want to deal with reality. But here's the thing, when you don't deal with reality, it's still there. It's still there. Sometimes what you need is not what you want. So we need to go to the Word. What does the Word say? I need. Says I need the house. I need the house of God. I need the family of God. I need the presence of God. That's what I need. I don't want it this morning because they're on my last nerve, but that's what I need. Amen? And if you let God, he'll use what you need to give you what heals you. To give you what heals you. And so when we look at that, I just want to encourage you, time in the Word, time with God, time in prayer, time in worship is the best antidepressant there is. Amen? It is the best one there is. But we got to take it. Just like if you're taking something naturally, you got to take it. You got to take this time. You got to get into that presence. You know, Psalms 42, 3 and 5 says this. Maybe this will describe how you're feeling sometimes. My tears have been my food day and night. That's pretty sad, isn't it? I mean, that sounds like a good line to a country song, doesn't it? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? And sometimes people aren't even saying that, but you think that's what they're thinking. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the mighty wing of the mighty one with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And then here's what he needs to do. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What he's saying, my tears have been my food day and night, but I'm going to go to church with all those festive people, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to remember who my Savior is. Amen? He said, this is how I feel, but this is what I'm going to do. What we need isn't always what we want. Amen? You know, there's a story, just real quick, a story about JCPenney. That's an actual person, or it was. And he started the store. How many of you have ever been to JCPenney? Well, there's a guy, he started the store. And when the depression hit, he was hit with depression very, very bad to the point where he hospitalized himself. He said in a book that he said, concerned about deteriorating health, Penny checked himself into the Kellogg Sanatorium in Battle Creek, Michigan. This is what he said. I got weaker day by day. I was broken, nervously and physically filled with despair, unable to see even a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt that I hadn't a friend left in the world, that even my family had turned against me. So the doctor gave him a sedative to calm him down, but it wore off. And when he got up, he was convinced that this would be his last day on earth, that he would not wake the next morning. How many know that sounds pretty bad? He was so distraught and convinced that his life was over that he wrote letters, farewell letters to his wife and to his son, saying that he did not expect to see the morning. But the next day he woke up, surprised to find himself alive. Making his way down the hallway of the hospital, he could hear singing coming from the little chapel where devotional exercises were held each morning. The words of the hymn he heard being sung spoke deeply to him. Going into the chapel, he listened to the singing, the reading of the scripture lesson, and the prayer. Suddenly, something happened, he said. I can't explain it. I can only call it a miracle. I felt as if I'd been instantly lifted out of the darkness of a dungeon into warm, brilliant sunlight. I felt as if I'd been transported from hell to paradise. I felt the power of God as I had never felt it before. In a life-transforming instant, Penny knew that God, with his love, was there to help. And he said this, from that day to this, my life has been free from worry. The most dramatic and glorious 20 minutes of my life were those I spent in that chapel that morning. And the words to the hymn that JCPenney said changed his life were this. It's an old hymn. He said, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love, abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Isn't that so good? You know, the answer when we're feeling that physically dry and running from God is to run and seek God. Just make yourself do it. There have been times where I know that I have needed the word, but I would much rather check out and do something else, where I've just said, I am going to sit here. I'm going to listen to this message. I am going to be like I am in this service, and I am going to receive everything this word has for me. There was a time when Pastor Scott and I were, Pastor Scott was going through a physical situation, and it was just causing a lot of trouble, and it was a big strain on both of us. And we would sit in our living room at our house, and we would put Mark Hankins teaching on our television, and when he said turn into the word, we would turn into the word. When he said say something, we would say something. And guaranteed, every time by the end of that service in our living room, we would be on our feet worshiping God, praying and just praising him, many times stepping out in faith, because everything in us was saying, ugh. Amen. But the word of God with action creates change. It creates change. And it would take everything to get us to do it. Because the phone would ring. The dishes need to be done. The laundry needs to be done. This needs to be done. I just want to take a nap. I don't want to do anything. But we'd be like, this is what we need. And man, that word would get in us. And you can't sit there just like, you got to put some action to what's happening. You want to change direction? You got to do something. And I tell you, time after time, that anointing would hit right in our living room, and we'd be woo, woo, just worshiping God right there, and that spirit of heaviness would lift off of us, and the garment of praise would come on us, and it would change what was happening. But we had a choice. We could have just sat and watched Stranger Things, or there's a time for that. There's a time for that. But man, when you need it, you got to put the word in. Amen? And you got to put the action in, because it's what you need. Listen, I like TV. I like to watch TV, but it does not change my life. It doesn't change my life. The word of God changes my life. The presence of God changes my life. Amen? And so I encourage you, don't keep running dry. Don't keep just running. I can't tell you how many people have moved away thinking all their problems are going to go away. But guess what? Those same problems they had here, they have there. But now they have more of them because they're out of the will of God. They're out of the will. Just like that prodigal son. He was out of the place he was supposed to be. There is power in the place you're supposed to be. Don't run from whatever's going on. Face it. We're never told to run from mountains. We're told to speak to them and to command them to move. Don't act like you don't have power. You got power. Amen? You got power on the inside of you. And you know, just for sake of time, let's just keep going. I'm just going to read the next ones to you. What are we on? Number four, right? Nope. We're only on number three. Oh my goodness. Oh well. You know, the symptom is that bottled up frustration and fear. Oh, isn't that how people are? That's how we are. Be open with what's going on in your life. I love what God says to Elijah in verse number 9. It says, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't say, what's wrong with you? Get it together. You don't have enough faith. He didn't say that. It's not a big deal. He didn't say any of those things. Because listen, what you see in someone's life may not be a big deal to you, but to them, it's a big deal. And we have to respect that. And so he says, he didn't say any of that. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, what's going on? What's going on with you? And he gave Elijah an opportunity to tell him what was going on, to talk about how he felt and talk about what was happening. You know, a lot of times when people are going through stuff, what they need is not a solutioner. Not somebody just come in and say, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. We need to just let people talk sometimes. And that's what God did with Elijah. He let him tell him what was happening. But then he told him the truth. And so Elijah said, listen, I've been zealous for the Lord. I've been fighting. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've put your prophets to death and with the sword. And he says, I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. So God let Elijah tell him what was going on. And I love what God told him. In verse number 18, he says, listen, Elijah, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. He's like, listen, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. But you know what? You got to talk about stuff. And that's why I believe in counseling. We have a counselor that we work with at our church. We pay her. She's a professional. I believe in it that much. It's a resource that we make available for people in our church because I believe in the power of Christian counseling. And you know what that counselor does most of the time? Say, what's going on? How do you feel about that? They get you talking about it. And once you start talking about it, you start seeing it a little more clearly. And when you begin to see things more clearly, you begin to see the truth. You know, sometimes we think, oh, that counselor is so great, when really you're the one doing all the work. Amen? You're the one doing all the work. You're talking and you're telling how it's going. And that's exactly what we need to do with God and with people around us. Don't think you have to pretend that everything is okay when it's not. Pretending doesn't change things, doesn't help things, and doesn't do any good. Let's be real. Amen? Let's be real with God. When you're hurting and your tears are your food day and night, God, it's okay to say that to the Lord. It's okay. But then God's going to gently move you in the direction you need to go. But so often, especially in the body of Christ, we have fallen under this false idea that when things are bad, we need to just pretend that they're okay. Because if I don't pretend they're okay, everybody's going to think this or this or this or this or this. Listen, let me let you in on a secret. Everybody has issues. Look at your neighbor and say, mm-hmm. Now look at your other neighbor and be like, oh yeah, yeah. Everybody has issues. It's when we face them and apply the word to them that we change them. Amen? I don't want a church of a bunch of fakers. I'm not interested in that. I want a church with life change in it. Amen? I want a church where we can come and say, this is me. Hang-ups, all kind of ups, all kind of downs, all kind of problems, all kind of issues. This is me. And then we put the word on it. Amen? I don't want a church where people come in and think like, oh, I got to be perfect. Everybody's perfect here. I can't let anybody know I got any problems or they won't want me here. That is not this church. Amen? That is not this church. We've all, as Pastor Scott says, everybody's got a flat spot. Everybody's got something in their life that needs the healing power of Jesus. We all do. So let's be real. And let's love on each other while we go through things. Amen? Because when you pretend, you stay there. You just get stuck there. And there's no healing there. And so when it comes to depression, the healing power of Jesus is here for you. It doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean any of those things. It doesn't mean anything the enemy is trying to lie and tell you it does. It means that something's not working right and you need the healing power of Jesus. End of story. Amen? End of story. God is here for you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here today, that those who are dealing with feelings of depression and things like that, that, Lord, that you would just be a healing balm on their heart, on their soul, on their emotion. That, Lord, that they would know that the church is a place for the hurting. The church is a place of healing. and that you love them so much. You're not disappointed with them. You're not fed up. You're not done. But Lord, you are loving and kind. And you bore stripes on your back for the healing of whatever, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, you're the healer of every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you for your healing power, Lord. That everyone here today, that they would recognize the symptoms and that they would apply the solution. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just wait just a minute. I just feel just in my spirit that there's someone here and you're kind of like, Peggy, I've been there, I've done that. Been there, done that, and still. I believe the Lord's just telling you to strike that rock one more time. Pursue God. Pursue Him with everything you got. Get somebody to help you. Stop trying to do it on your own. Get somebody to help you. Someone you trust, someone who loves you, and someone who will walk with you. Someone who will pray with you, encourage you, and spur you on to apply the word to what's happening. I just believe the Lord said, do it one more time and see Him move. See God move, because He is the healer. He is the healer. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are our healer. Healing is here today for every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. Healing is here. Healing is here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. And thank you for meeting us right where we are. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed and you say, Peggy, I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. But today, I recognize that I have made mistakes and that I need forgiveness. I recognize that I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with God. And I recognize that I need the power of God to live here on this earth. And there's only one way to find all those things you need, and His name is Jesus. Jesus forgives. Jesus receives, and Jesus empowers us. And all we've got to do is say, yes, I believe and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you today and you say, Peggy, I want to do that. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be brand new. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Just raise your hand up big and tall. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You just, when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. Say, yes, Jesus, I need what you have. Anybody like that in this place today? I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, I need Jesus. Oh, God loves you. He's crazy about you. Thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who raise their hand, let's all say this prayer. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came, that He died, that He rose again, all for me, so that I could be free from every bondage and live life with Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe it. I receive him right now. Amen. Amen. Isn't God so good? He's so good. Listen, I know the topic of depression can be a little touchy. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, nothing should be touchy from the power of God. Amen. Nothing should be too touchy. We can't talk about it in church. And what we need is the power of God on these issues. So I just encourage you, if you know somebody that's dealing with depression, love on them, pray for them, and encourage them to pursue God. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready?